Hi, I'm Chris Bedford, Dorothy Wagner Wallace Director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, and welcome to Art Matters, a monthly feature where we provide insights into the work of some of today's most creative artists from Baltimore and beyond. Joining me today is Mark Bradford, a Los Angeles-based artist who represented the United States for the 2017 Venice Biennale, known as the Olympics of the Art World. This exhibition, entitled Tomorrow is Another Day, recently opened in Baltimore. So welcome, Mark, and thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to begin by qualifying that phrase, the Olympics of the art world. So what did Venice mean to you?
Well, it's such a huge platform, and you really have a lot more people from internationally looking in at the work. So I think the context for it definitely does change. It doesn't feel regional. It really feels like it's an international show with international people, a little bit like the Hunger Games.
I think that's fair. And so I looked at some of the visitation numbers, and over 1 million people see this exhibition annually, and your pavilion was the highest attended U.S. pavilion in history. So what does that mean?
Well, I didn't know that until just now, but that's not bad. I mean, I'm always happy when people see the work. I make the work so that you can put it in the public and have a critique about it, a question about it. So the fact that that many people came to see the work or were drawn to it, I think, is amazing.
And tell us a little bit about the show itself. What was the basis for the exhibition?
Well, Tomorrow's Another Day is the last line in Gone with the Wind, and it's the only thing that didn't change in my proposal for Venice. It really had to do with, I think, race, and I think it had to do with kind of a collapse and feeling outsider and insider, and painting, the history of painting and the body, and using some historical points, the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, as a point for the body, and I think a lot of the conversations that have been in the air for the last 3 or 4 years around nationhood and in this country.
And now the Venice Biennale, the pavilion, has arrived in Baltimore. You are now here in this city, a black majority city in the United States in 2018, having represented the U.S. in Venice. What does bringing that work here mean?
For me, it's exciting. It's a different context. I think that the reception obviously is going to be different. And in some ways, I think that people will have more access into some of the historical and kind of the social and political things that I'm talking about. But I'm excited.
And clearly, it's a significant moment. So rewinding, Fred Wilson was the only black artist to represent the U.S. in Venice in advance of you. We now know that Martin Puryear, another African-American artist, the sculptor, is represented in Venice in 2019, an amazing artist. So it does feel to me like we're in the grip of a sea change and that you were a big part of making that possible.
Well, I tell you, it's really to me about equity. It's about having more people sitting at the table. As long as more people start to sit at the table and have power at that table, then change can become sustainable and long term. It's not a fad. It's not something that's going to be gone in a day or two. That's really why really pushing to sit at the table, art history, who was writing that history, how many men, how many women, people of color, who economically controls that history, what do the staff at museums look like. When you start to get more faces and more cultural demographics sitting at that table, it just obviously changes the conversation or expands it.
So hopefully, a lot of people would say that you are this country's greatest living painter. And I subscribe to that. I say it as much as I possibly can. But there are two sides to Mark Bradford. There's the great painter who works in the studio recreating abstraction for the 21st century. And then there's the Mark Bradford who is the social activist, somebody who's engaged in and invested in measurable social change. Mm. So you did some of that work in Venice. Maybe you could describe a little bit of the work in Venice, and then we can move on to Baltimore.
I always say it's like the social part is what Mark needed before art school to sort of kind of develop my own who I was. Rio Terra is a 6-year project where I'm working with the women in men's prison. In Venice, Italy, and we are sustainable, we have merchandise, we make products, we have a store in Venice that has been absolutely, completely absorbed and accepted by the community. And all the money goes back into job training. Oftentimes, when the prisoners leave prison, they actually have no place to go to receive mail to check their emails. So that it becomes like a landing dock as well, and it's been very successful.
those two sides of Mark, one foot in the street, one foot in the studio. That's always been the case since the second I met you. So when the Venice Biennale arrives in Baltimore, you're doing both again. So there's the show in the museum itself.
Yes.
And then there's our partnership with Greenmount West Community Center, which is a parallel to Rio Terra. So maybe you could speak a little bit about your work with them.
I just left there, and it was really exciting because it's everything that I really wanted. I always say that these type of community centers are exactly what a young Mark needed growing up, a safe space where he was allowed and given the permission to let his creativity come out and that he wouldn't be penalized. Where do sensitive young creative people go if they only have access to a local community? Contemporary ideas should exist alongside of everything else that exists in that community. So we have a power press, and we have a silk screening lab, and we were silk screening, and the young people, both the young girls and the boys, were silk screening bags and T-shirts, and they're going to sell them, and 100% of the money goes back into Greenmount. And not only that, we have a long-term relationship with BMA where we have a space, a store that is going to be there for a long time to sell them. So that gives the materials that we do inside of Greenmount more access. People will have more access to it. It's really exciting because it's generational. It's different classes. It's non-gendered. It's creative. It's active. It's really exactly what I think is needed.
So this kind of a relationship between an institution like the BMA and a community center like Greenmount West is very new for museums. So my question to you that I'm really curious about for myself as a director, how should that partnership change the museum? What about that work with them is going to change the way that we relate to the city of Baltimore?
Well, I think you need to listen to them. Everyone has a voice and everyone wants to be heard. Oftentimes with quote unquote, who has the most money can do the most talking. That should not be the norm. You have to listen. There are different types of currency. First, you have to listen. They will tell you what they need. You can't tell other communities what they need. Once they tell you what they need, then you get behind that and you build that because that is, they're telling you this is what we need to be sustainable. And once that has happened, then you can, when it's kind of more on equal footing, develop what I call maybe more of a second tier type of relationship. But you can't go in and tell people what they need.
So then finally, going in the other direction, what does it mean for Greenmount West to partner with Mark Bradford and the BMA? What will that institution in its nascence get from you?
My hope is that Greenmount and the young people and all the people working in Greenmount will have just more access to funding, more access to educational partners, more access to technology partners, access. Give people access and you never know what they're going to do with it.
It strikes me as really significant that Mark Bradford, the Venice Biennale, Tomorrow is Another Day, is arriving in Baltimore in 2018. It feels to me that this is a very ripe, fertile moment for you to be in this city. 6 months is the run of the show. At the conclusion of those 6 months, what do you want the result to be?
That everybody learns something from everybody and that we get excited about what comes next. We get excited about what comes next at Greenmount. We get excited about how can we move this conversation forward in the museum culture? How can museums really reflect the community and who is that community? And that we really sit down and have some of the hard conversations about equity. Diversity should lead to equity and equity should lead to inclusion, but oftentimes it doesn't. It stops at diversity. We'll have a few diverse shows and leave it at that. I think the whole country is grappling with equity because it has to do with power. And so I hope that we have these hard conversations and creative conversations and that it leads to a future. That's it.
So, Mark, we've had these conversations a million times, and every time it's inspiring.
Oh.
So, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You can see Mark Bradford's work on view now at the Baltimore Museum of Art. Thank you for listening today. Art Matters is produced for WYPR by the Baltimore Museum of Art. And for the Baltimore Museum of Art, I'm Chris Bedford.